But we can understand and relate, Lord, to you because of your birth. And Lord, we even understand more your love for us because of that birth. Because we know, Lord, that you understood that being born also meant that you were to be crucified for us. And so we thank you and rejoice in you today. Lord, we pray as a church. Father, we pray for those needs among us, and they, Lord, are vast and many. But we think in particular of Ed Dole today, and Leonard, and Terry, and George, and Inga, and Lori, and Tina. We lift them all to you, Lord, and pray. We pray for your mighty power and courage in their life. And Lord, we pray for your healing upon them. And we're thankful, Lord, that many of them are at home this Christmas and they're recovering. And Lord, we pray for their family members that you would give them strength and courage as well. And Lord, we also pray that they would see you in a fresh, real way this Christmas. And Lord, we think of us as a church family, and Lord, we pray that we would continue to be obedient to you and that we would not falter in that way. Lord, that we would be a lighthouse on this hill. And Lord, we pray for all those churches that are meeting today that worship you and proclaim you as Lord. And Father, we pray that you would bless them as well. We rejoice in you today, God. You're our Father, you're our Lord, you're our Savior, you're our King. And we proclaim you today, Lord of our life and Lord of this church. To you be the glory and the honor, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Michelle, it's so good to see you sitting there. If you talk to Michelle after the service, you'll hear her Boston accent come out. It's there. You just don't know it yet, but it's great that you're sitting there. And I'm sure your family's excited too. Well, don't look so thrilled. No, just kidding. It's great. In Salt Lake City, a busy housewife bought a last-minute box of 100 identical Christmas cards and not even pausing to read the message inside. I mean, she was really extensively busy. She feverishly dispatched them to 99 of her relatives and her acquaintances and whose own greeting cards were already displayed on her piano top and on her mantle. And some days later, after she'd sent them all out and they were gone, she accidentally picked up one of the cards that were left, and she read it and was in a state of shock. And her husband said, "What's going on? What's wrong?" And she said, "Have you seen these cards?" I said, he said, "No, what does it say?" She said, "It says, this little card is just to say a gift you love is on its way." 99 different cards went out. You see, what so often happens, the true story, but what so often happens in our Christmas time is not financial stress placed on a family, but the stress of Christmas itself, the busyness to get it all done. And I think like that first Christmas, there always appears to be a sense of sacrifice at this time of year. Now, I think it's appropriate that we talk about sacrifice, and I want to talk to you specifically about appropriate Christmas sacrifice. That's what I want to speak on this morning with a familiar story of Luke chapter 2 as our backdrop. And I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 2. I'm not going to read it, the whole story, because it's the birth of Jesus, and we know it. And if you don't know it, you should know it. But turn to Luke chapter 2. And we'll be looking at some isolated verses as we look at Christmas sacrifice, because there is sacrifice given at Christmas. It's just, is it the right kind of sacrifice? Christmas sacrifice involves, first of all, time. It involves time. I mean, what we give to walk back in time and enter into an era that is not so Christmas crazy, buyer crazy. I mean, if we just admit it, most of us would love to walk back into yesteryear and sit more with our families and sip some hot chocolate or eat some popcorn that we're stringing for the tree. I mean, that's the Norman Rockwell painting. And you see this set up for, this isn't for today, but it's for tomorrow night, and that we left this here for reasons so you could see that this is the inside of a house. And Ozzie and Harriet, how many of you know of Ozzie and Harriet Nelson? You know, you watch the show, all right. Some of you were reluctant. But, you know, that was the time. That was the time where they spent time as families. And family was the focus. And we try our best, even now, to say family's the focus. But I have on occasion, and I don't know if you have, but I have taken a moment to just time Christmas, to write it down. And if you ever sat and thought about it, I mean, have you ever just noticed how much time really is spent on Christmas? I mean, you think of it. You go out, you find the right tree. I mean, if you don't have an artificial one. You trim that tree. You buy the gifts in the meantime of all this hustle and bustle. You send out the cards, just like that Salt Lake City housewife who's very busy. You do the baking. You buy the turkey. You find a recipe that just makes it just like, you know, grandma used to make. Attending Christmas parties, all these events, picking up your child at the airport coming from Boston. I mean, I could go on and on and on about what we do. And then one day, it's family time. One day is for the family. The rest of the year, when we say, we just don't have time, we have time, but we have time for the busy part of life. See, Christmas Day comes, and I mean, I don't know how it is in your house, but there's a tree somewhere among the gifts, you know. I mean, grandparents, I believe that their lot in life is to spoil grandchildren. And I often wonder if my mother has purchased her own Walmart store. The tree is there underneath all the stuff, and it's hard to tell, but it's there. And Christmas morning comes, and boom, kids are all over the place. And so are you. You're there too. And if you have children, or if you've ever been a child, I don't know if you've ever been, but you know what I'm talking about. Literally bouncing with excitement, paper flying all over the place, gifts unwrapped in about an hour, and gift wrap is all over, and you're trying to put it into, you know, stuff it in the bags, big garbage bags. And if you really sit down and time it, and I encourage you to do this, maybe 3 hours goes by, and the kids come and say, "I'm bored." Christmas sacrifice requires time spent with your family, because that's really what Christmas is all about. You think about it for a moment. Think back to those Christmases that you most enjoyed. More than likely, you thought about a Christmas that was special to you, a Christmas in which an adult, whether it be a parent or a grandparent, took time to sit down and play with your toys with you, or spend some time with you, a time whereby you were together as a family. Wasn't the gifts, wasn't the stuff, wasn't the tree, it was you as a family. Sacrifice requires time. Luke chapter 2, verse 6 says this, "While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger." When the time came, see? When the time came, Christmas involves time. You see, Christmas turns your attention to gifts like no other season does. Do you know that? You rush to to choose. You rush to buy them. In fact, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. I was in one of the stores here, and I was walking around. I did more pastoral visits in that store than I have throughout the year, I think. I mean, because everybody was there. And why were they there? They were there. They weren't there just to, hey, I'm just around here visiting today. No, I'm here to buy gifts. See, we savor in our hearts, we savor the thrill of receiving gifts from family and friends. But also, we receive the thrill and savor it from them opening it. Say, wow. You know, have you ever seen that Best Buy commercial? Anybody? You know, I'm looking for the wow, you know, that fantastic gift for mom or whatever, you know? And we accentuate so much on gifts. And I don't think we take the time to just remind ourselves of really why we're celebrating with gifts in the first place. It's Jesus' birthday. The time to remember when God visited our planet in the flesh. Chuck Swindoll said this, and he said it well. Christmas is too important, too encouraging to be put on a shelf as a yearly tradition. Reflect on what it meant for God to become a baby, to take upon himself our flesh, and to make his dwelling among us. Come, let us adore him today. Today. You have to take time today. You have to sacrifice your time today. I mean, think of it. That visit that God made to this earth made it even greater gifts possible for us. I mean, there's spiritual gifts, salvation, healing, freedom, grace, mercy, peace, joy, forgiveness, reconciliation, and transformation that came because of that manger birth. What gifts? Yet, even in these spiritual gifts aren't the greatest gifts of all. In fact, they don't truly matter unless they point you toward the ultimate gift. And that's found in the manger, Jesus Christ, God himself. Luke chapter 2 says that the time came. Taking time is essential for Christmas. Well, Christmas sacrifice involves not only time, but it also involves making room. Making room. Now, it's interesting. I was talking to my mom just last night. And she was saying to me, she said, "Oh, your father and I are just so busy making room." And I said, "What are you making room for, Mom?" "I don't know, but we're making room." And I said, "Are you making room in the living room?" "Yes." "Are you making room in the dining room?" "Yes." What are you making room for?" "Well, we're making room for all of you to come home and spend Christmas with us. And we're making room for your brother to sleep in the den." And I said, "Okay, so you're making lots of room." She said, "Lots of room, you know." It's all excited about making room. My brother, who's coming, actually loves the movie Scrooge. And you know what I'm talking about. Anybody seen The Christmas Carol? Okay, two of you. You fill the rest in. I could never figure out why he really liked the movie Scrooge. And he cries during it. He weeps when he watches it. Until he told me. He said, he openly confesses that he has such a bah humbug attitude that he really doesn't want anyone else enjoying Christmas without him. And so anybody who surrounds him with Christmas, they just sit around, they just really don't enjoy Christmas that much because that's what they do. They're called the weepy group, he calls it, he has some name for it. But he said this to me, he said, "You know, I just don't have the heart for Christmas. I just don't." Yeah, that is so sad. I mean, having a heart is really what Christmas is all about. You think of it. Jesus is always concerned about the heart, isn't he? He wants that relationship with us, and we need it, especially at Christmas. If you look at verse 7 here, it goes on, "And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Isn't it interesting? In Christmas plays, there's always an innkeeper, but it's not in here. We always give them the line, "There's no room." You know. Jesus Christ was born out of love. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That's the gift that's given at Christmas. But you need to make room. You need to make room for the Jesus who entered this world, especially at Christmas. Are you allowing Jesus room? You see, I hear over and over and over again, and it's getting more accepting. Happy holidays. Blessing of the season to you. Oh, may you rejoice in the splendor of this holiday. You know what I'm talking about? Do you know? I want to let you in on something. It's a little secret. The world is trying to get Christ out of it. Did you know that? I don't know if you knew that or not. But Christmas is the one time where Christ really does shine in the world. Did you know that? It is the one time where Christmas, the word Christ, is right in there for a reason. And that's for proclamation of the season. And yet the world is trying to stifle it. We need to make room for what Christmas truly is all about. You remove the reason to celebrate Christmas, and you simply celebrate Mass. Mass of gifts, a Mass of food, a Mass. It's a worship of sorts called Mass. And sadly, it's because we've removed Christ out of Christmas. Are you making room for him? Are you making room available for him in your heart? See, Christ was born so that we would understand that it means to what it means to really love, to really forgive, to really show grace. We need to be a people who love Christmas, who really love Christmas for this reason, to love, to love, to love beyond. See, that's what sacrifice is all about. It involves time, it involves making room, and it involves loving. See, if you look at verse 19 here, I want you to see this. I'm going to start in verse 13. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And look at verse 19. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. You see, when you are permeated in the heart with the love of God, you can't keep quiet. See, I remember as a child, I knew the system really, really well. And I spoke very, very fondly about my need for this one particular gift. I really, really wanted a train set, a Lionel train set. Do you know what I'm talking about? Lionel train. I mean, that's an important train set. And I wanted this Lionel train set. I mean, it was on all the little ads that were on TV. It was in the Christmas wish book. And so I often spoke to my parents about this somehow by saying, "Woo woo! I'm playing a Lionel train until Christmas comes." You know, things like that. You know, just little hints. I wanted them to be aware of what was required in order to make my Christmas complete. And so December 25th comes along, and I could hardly contain myself, and I went through the whole ritual. My brother and I woke up early, and our socks were always like the first things to go through. It was the appetizer to the real thing. You know, some screaming, you know, going through the. And that's just one rule. You have to, you know. And then while we're doing that, I mean, we could not enter the living room until everyone was awake. And so, you know, I mean, I always thought of ingenious ways to wake up my mom and dad, you know, somehow, you know, like flushing the toilet four times or, you know, brushing my teeth, you know, so I run the water a little bit, like, talking loudly, laughing out loud. And my brothers would always go, "Shh, you gotta wait, though. Shh, you gotta wait." That was always my hope. Yelling fire worked once. Don't try this at home. Please don't. But soon we were in Adventureland again, and we would enter the living room on Christmas morning, and I would begin this hunt for the hopeful object of my affection was the Lionel train set. And I found a large box under the tree, wrapped it. I thought, this is it. This is the Lionel train set. And with precision, I carefully ripped it open and discovered Aunt Gertrude's gift of underwear and socks, a good assortment. Now, don't get me wrong, that's a great gift, very necessary, but when you're in grade two, it's heart-stopping. And I couldn't find anywhere, I'm looking through my gifts, there's no Lionel train set. Nowhere, and I was puzzled. I hated everything and everyone that morning. My brother attempted to console me by laughing his head off. It's no good. And soon my mother said, oh, wait, we have one more thing that we have to go get. And she came out with a Lionel train set. And soon, amongst all the wrappings, I discovered that this Lionel train set, I mean, it was then that I really loved my mother and my father and my brother and everybody else in the world. I mean, I wanted to stand around and hold hands and sing Kumbaya. I don't know. It was wonderful. Several hours and playing with that train, getting it all set up and watching it go around the track about three times. Oh. It was kind of over. Until new people came over, all the relatives. And then I was excited again, and I come on in. See my Lionel train set? You know? Anybody who doorbell would ring, I'd be running out. Come on in. You got to see my Lionel train set. You know? I was so excited to show people the ultimate Christmas gift that I got. You know what? It's too bad we don't get so excited about the ultimate Christmas gift that we've received. You see, I love how God appears to people throughout Scripture. You think of it. I mean, God appeared, and what they did is they always went and they always told about what God has done. And yet we get these gifts and we open them up like a Lionel train set, and that's what we proclaim. These shepherds, they couldn't keep their mouths shut. Something radically was changing in the world. It's hard to keep quiet. Some of you are brave, and I know you are, because I've seen you and you've told me that you've walked up to clerks in stores and you've said, by the way, I have problems with Happy Holidays. I want to say to you, Merry Christmas. You've done it. Why? Because we're proclaiming. You can't, if Christ is right in here and you're loving the way he loves, you can't stop sharing it. Proclaim with joy, Merry Christmas. That's what it is. Don't let the world snuff Christ out. It's done it enough already. It's time to take it back. Love. Love people the way they need to be loved, and that's the way Christ loves them. And I tell you, I was just talking to somebody this past week. They don't attend here. They probably will. But they said to me, they said, First Baptist Church is such a real place. It's such a real place. I mean, you accept people, warts and all. You really are a light on a hill. You really, really are. I should really think of attending there. Of course, you know, they're talking to me. So I said, yes. You need to attend. Please. See, once you're loved, then you're free to love other people. You can endure risk-taking. You can chance rejection. And if people hurt you, you can put up with it. Because if God is for you, who can be against you? You feel affirmed. Love requires that you reach out. Love is something you do. People say, well, it comes quite naturally. It doesn't come naturally. I think it comes naturally to a handful of people. But love, as Tony Campolo said, love is doing for other people what Jesus would do for them if Jesus was in your place. You get that? Love is doing for other people what Jesus would do for other people if Jesus were in your place. Love is something you will to do. It's something that you determined to do. God loves you, and because you're loved, and because you're saved by God, you say, Jesus, because you love me, I will love other people. I don't deserve your love, Jesus, because we don't. But by grace, We accept his love because he, by grace, extends it to us. I will do for other people, Jesus, what you would do if you were in my place. I don't know how to reduce it to anything more simpler than that. That's such a sacrifice, especially at Christmas. Visually, you're going to see that this morning. Because Doris and Joan are going to come and they're going to present to us a skit. Now, I gotta admit that I haven't seen all the information on the skit, but I know it's powerful because I heard about it because it was put on at Pine Grove this past Monday night. And so they're going to come at this time and put it on for us. I hope you have your Kleenex boxes ready. So, Doris and Joan, please.
Jane, are you?
I'm Jane.
Wow. It's nice to meet you.
Well, I've been waiting here for you.
Good.
Phoned and told me you were coming.
Good.
And I'm really glad you came.
Good.
Let's just sit down and grab a chair over there.
Thank you.
And maybe we can talk and see why you came.
Well, I'm here because I was caught shoplifting. And so, this is part of my sentence. I have to do community service, and I have to see a counselor.
Yeah.
They think I've made some bad choices in my life, and I need a little help with it.
Well, I'm really glad you came to me, because I can help you.
Well, so they say.
Well, then sit down. Yeah, shoplifting, you know, is a bad thing.
You think so?
Were there any other charges? Or?
Well, that was my first charge, but everybody does it. I mean, my goodness, I'm over at the store, and I just want a couple of things, and there's a great big lineup. I mean, what's the big deal? So I put it in my pocket.
Now, why do you think other people stand in line to pay for what they get?
Well, I guess, but it didn't seem like that big a deal. I thought everybody did it.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe you have the wrong choice of friends.
Well, maybe. I guess we do like to go out partying, and yeah, I guess it isn't really great. They're always getting drunk, but I just don't know what to do anymore. I mean, getting high and getting drunk, that's just what we do. I mean, what else is there to do?
Well, I think maybe I'll be able to help you. I've got a story I could tell you.
Do you?
Yeah. Because many years ago, I went down the same road that you're going down.
You did?
I sure did. I got into some drugs, too, and drinking, and I came from a home where there was alcohol, and there was so much fighting and quarreling and bitching about this and that and whatever.
Sounds familiar.
It does. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I just felt I wasn't loved.
Yeah.
So I decided if my parents don't show me any love, I guess I'll go look for it in other places. So I went to the mall, and there was this group of teenagers, and yeah, they looked like they were right on. They were laughing and having fun and doing whatever. So I kind of got close to them, and they said I could join the group. Oh, that was wonderful.
Yes.
That was really terrific.
Sounds good.
I found somebody that I could jump around with. But that was only the beginning. I didn't realize that they went He said, "What? Get out of here. I don't want anything to do with you. Go have an abortion or do whatever." And have an abortion? But I was carrying this baby inside me, and it was part of me, and I wasn't going to have any abortion. And I just felt so terrible and so alone. So I went to the hospital because I was really sick. And the lady came, and her name was Abby. And she started talking to me. And I began to trust her. She was more like a mother figure to me than my own mother, right? Because I couldn't tell my mother, "Well, I'm pregnant." Because she would say, "You know, get out of the house." Yeah, she would say that. And so I started telling this Abby about all the things about the drinking and the drugs and whatever. And you know what she said to me? She said, "Yeah, I started doing things like that too when I was a girl, but I met someone called Jesus." Well, Jesus. The only time I ever heard about Jesus was when people were cursing and angry and swearing. But she told me that there was a book called the Bible, and that this Jesus, he really, really loved me. He loved me for me, not for all the things that I did or whatever, but he loved me. And, oh, you mean somebody actually loves me?
Nice to think that somebody would.
Well, and she showed me in the Bible there, it says God is love all through the Bible, and she told me that God didn't love what I did, because what I did was called sin. And she explained all about sin to me, that sin was the lying and the cheating and, lying on the income tax and just gossiping about people and not only drinking and having sex and doing stuff like that. It's all of the little things too. And she said that sin is just like my jacket. It's all black and it makes you feel yucky inside. Really yucky. And it's dark. And the world outside is all dark because of sin. But she said, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that we could get rid of that sin." Would you like to be feel free of your guilt and know that somebody really loves you?
It would be really nice.
Well, you know what she did? She said to me, "Come on now, Jane, let's pray and ask Jesus into your heart, and he will come in and he'll wash it nice and clean. Would you pray with me?"
"Yeah, I think I would."
"Okay, let's just pray together, okay, shall we?"
"Sure. I don't know how to pray."
"Well, that's okay. I'll pray with you, and you just follow me, okay?"
"Okay."
"Dear Jesus."
"Dear Jesus."
"I'm a sinner."
"I'm a sinner.
And I've done so many things in my life that are wrong."
"And I've done so many things in my life that are wrong."
"I am so sorry."
"I am so
inside. I'm pure and innocent, just like this sheet of paper. Jesus said that because I washed your heart with my blood, that all the sins were gone. He erased them, and I don't ever have to worry about having that sin anymore. He washed me nice and clean.
Wow.
So now you're nice and clean inside, just like this paper.
Wow.
Brand new life.
So now what do I do?
Well, now what do you do? You know, we have this color here. What color is this?
It's green.
Oh, isn't that pretty?
It is.
What does green remind you of?
Grass.
Oh, right on. And what happens when we see grass? I don't see any grass right now. Like,
there's no grass now. It's winter.
Yeah. But grass means a new beginning, doesn't it? Oh,
I suppose.
Grass starts sprouting up from the bottom, and then there's baby birds and baby this and that. It's a new beginning.
I suppose.
So, you know, when you become a Christian, you have to begin brand new. And Peter, I need to share. I'm going to give you this New Believer's Bible. And when you wake up in the morning, Melanie, you know, you first thing you do is talk to God and say, "Hi, God, it's Melanie. What have you got for me to do today?" But you have to thank maybe for a good night's sleep, or thank him for how he's changed your life, and start every day with God. And you know what? It says now the Holy Spirit lives in me. So now wherever you go, you're going to take God with you. So you have to be, you know, pretty careful if God's with you, that you don't go to places like bars and, you know, stuff like that. So you read every day a few verses and you talk to God just like I'm talking to you.
Right.
And soon, you know, your life is so changed. I'm not the old Melody anymore. I'm a new person. And it's always good, you know, Melody. We have a really good church, and when do you like to go to church with me sometimes?
Well, I'm not going to have other friends. I guess I need to do something. But are there young people at your church?
Yeah, that's pretty good. And you know,
and I won't feel
funny. People have love, because we've learned to love the person and forgive their past and love the person. And if you come with me to church, we've made some new friends and you just get along fine.
I guess I could come and try it.
Well, that would be nice. You know, I have your phone number. Now you're going to come and see me every week, so we're going to be talking about this every week and how your life has changed. But that's the beginning, to come to your church and learn about Jesus.
Okay. I think that sounds good.
Well, you know what? Now that you've accepted Christ, you're adopted into God's family.
I am now?
Yeah.
Wow.
And we're sisters in Christ.
Wow.
That's
wonderful. That's quite amazing.
Yes. And you're going to learn more as you go along the road.
Okay.
That God really loves you.
Yeah. It's very nice to think somebody. Thank you, and I guess we'll see you next week then.
Oh, we'll see you on Sunday.
Okay, thank you.
I'm so glad you came. And for you people out there, if there's anyone that needs to make that decision to have Jesus in your heart, to start over again and make your heart clean, God is always waiting with his arms open wide. And if you would like to make a change in your life, maybe you would like to rededicate your life to God. God is always there, open and ready to receive you. And they could come to the front and we would have. Now we're going to sing.
Yes. Yes, we're going to sing now. Finally, yes. Thank you to Doris and Joan, by the way. That was very well done. But it's important what Doris said, and that is that today you can make that decision in your life to change your heart. And we want to give you opportunity to do that before I pray. So I want you to just bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to invite the Selma to start playing. You can just come to God this morning. And maybe you've been very similar in as Melanie has shared here, as Joan was portraying her, that there's some stuff in your life that you just need to deal with this morning. And they say in Ephesians that we read, it says very clearly there that it's good to confess to one another, but it's also good to confess to the Lord. And so this morning, as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, maybe as you've heard this morning about the Christmas sacrifice, you haven't been willing to give of your time or willing to give make room in your heart, and maybe you haven't been willing to sacrifice even your love this Christmas. Maybe you've not been able to proclaim who Jesus really, truly is. Got caught up in all the other stuff that's around. Maybe you've been like Doris explained this morning, that in the play, that she was trying to find her source of strength in other things and in other people. Maybe that's you this morning. But while your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I ask you, if you're talking to God this morning and saying, Lord, right now, I'm just surrendering right now myself to you. I'm sacrificing. I'm going to sacrifice, Lord, my own self, my heart, my time. I'm going to make room for you this season, Lord. And I'm going to rededicate my life afresh to you today. Maybe you're saying that to him this morning. Or maybe you're saying, Lord, I saw this morning a beautiful example of the need to proclaim. To proclaim who you are. And I can do it this Christmas season. Lord, give me areas and people to come across my path in which I can do this. Maybe that needs to be your prayer today. Or maybe it's just to forgive somebody, just like the Lord forgives. As you forgive, you will be forgiven, says the Scriptures. Maybe that's what you need to do this morning. Talk to God. Father, there's, as that song is being played, that beautiful hymn, Lord, I'm coming home. And Lord, sometimes we walk away from you. We walk away from really who you are. We get caught up in people. We get caught up in things. We get caught up in the stuff and the circumstances. Lord, this morning, may we not get caught up. Lord, may we sacrifice ourselves. Sacrifice ourselves for you. Just like you, Lord, sacrificed for us, may we sacrifice for you. And to you, Lord, be the glory and the honor this Christmas season. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. And all God's people said, Amen.
Let's stand together. Take your hymnals if you would. Hymn number 406. We're going to sing verses 1 and 2 as our closing song this morning. Coming home.
wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home. Coming home. Nevermore to roam. Open wide the arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home.
Amen. I want to just mention that following the second service, for those of you who are regular attenders here, there's a special meeting. We've been walking through some challenging events over the past little while, and we would invite you to come back after the second service for that for just that special time that we can have as a church family. And I encourage you to be here for that. Let's just pray, shall we? Father God, as we have proclaimed you this morning, and even through this skit, Lord, we know that you welcome us, and we know that the paths of sin, we've walked too long in those areas, Lord, that we shouldn't. And Father, you call us home. And so, Lord, whether we have wandered too far away, or Lord, whether we are close by, there are those moments where we just need to focus closer to you and come home to you. So, Father, I pray that through this Christmas time and through this season and throughout this year, that, Lord, you be proclaimed as the source and the cure for everything in our life. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.